We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. In the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on the Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 10:03 on the Fan. And a very good Monday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here, of course, till 1 o'clock. CMB comes your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. First, let me start out by congratulating my partner because his basketball team took care of business over the weekend. They go into Milwaukee. They sit Oscar and Kareem. And they beat the Bucks.
They sat the combo of Oscar and Kareem.
Right, Giannis. And then, of course, they go into Indiana, beat the Pacers, and clinch that playoff spot. 41-40. They can't go any lower than the seventh seed. Congratulations, bro.
Oh, thank you. That was awesome. And I appreciate Coach Budenhauser benching Giannis Antetokounmpo for a, quote, sore something, groin, ankle, whatever it was. But the Bucks are a hell of a team because even without Giannis, they were fighting. But the Nets won that game because of Jared Dudley. And I give him all the props in the world. Defensively, hitting big threes, big offensive rebounds. He was tremendous. And then they ended it all on Sunday by beating the Pacers. It was the first time they had won both ends of a back-to-back on the road in 4 years.
Really? I'm surprised it was that real that recent, to be honest.
It felt like a long time ago.
Right.
And it's funny, the last time the Nets were in the playoffs, which
was also 4 years ago.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago. You know, it's not about the Nets ending a drought. It's about the fact that they rebuilt this team after Billy King nuked the franchise.
Yep.
He dropped a nuclear bomb on everybody. They had no picks, no lottery picks. The rebuild job by Sean Marks is remarkable. I mean, it's one of the great turnarounds you'll see when you've got no picks and yet you turn a team around and you win 41-42 games. But the last time they were in the playoffs, they were a horrible team to watch. I'm sorry. They were horrible. Darren Williams and Jared Jack and Thaddeus Young and Mason Plumlee. No offense to those guys. Mm-hmm. But they were a boring team. They were a dull team. They gave Atlanta a fight in the first round. They finished under 500. But what a difference 4 years makes, because they may have only won 41 or 42 games, but this is one of the most fun basketball seasons I've ever had as a fan.
Well, especially when you look at the start. I mean, they started out, what, 8-18. They lose Caris LeVert. Looked like he was going to be done for the year. At that point, he was their best player, at least at that point.
Yep.
And then look at it. And since then, what are they, 33-22?
Yeah.
Is that what they are?
And they did it overcoming, like you mentioned, all the different injuries.
Yep.
Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie went down. Everybody seemed to have an injury. The constant was D'Angelo Russell, who blossomed himself into an all-star. And I don't know what's going to happen in the first round, whether it's Toronto, whether it's Philadelphia. I have my preference, though. It's basically pick your poison.
You'd rather play the Sixers, right?
I would, and I have a simple answer for it. You know how before every playoff series, you do all the matchups,
right?
And you try to find
the
advantages.
Have you done that already? Have you? As soon as the game was over yesterday, were you down like scrolling matchups?
I wasn't scrolling anything down.
Doing?
I was thinking about it, though.
Right.
I was fantasizing about it. Because there was a chance last night if Orlando lost, and give them credit because they clinched the playoff spot.
Yeah, how about that?
But if Orlando lost, they were going to wrap up the sixth seed last night. Instead, it could be six or seven. But I thought about Philadelphia, and I thought about Toronto, two teams who are better than the Nets. I'll be the first to admit it. But against Toronto, they'd have no advantage. Not a one. You want to tell me they have the point guard edge? Fine. But I mean overall, they're not really going to have any edge. Against Philadelphia, there is an edge that the Nets have, and it's their bench. The one weakness of Philadelphia is they are not a very deep team. Now, they may have the best starting five in the Eastern Conference, which matters.
Could be.
With Tobias and Jimmy and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and J.J. Redick.
Yep.
But their bench is not deep, and the Nets would have a big edge. But Either way, they're going to be a big underdog. Whatever happens, happens. I'm ecstatic they're there. I'm ecstatic the Islanders took care of business over the weekend.
You got Pittsburgh coming up with the home ice on Wednesday, right? You're going to be there when, Friday?
I will be there Friday for game two. And think about this. 1988. That was the last time the New York Islanders opened an NHL postseason series at home.
That is amazing. 31 years.
88.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, really, when you think about it, that's amazing.
Well, think about the amount of postseason series they've played since starting on the road. The answer is 13. Mm. And I know this one's a little deceiving. I'll admit that off the top. This is the most points the Islanders have had in a season, and it is deceiving because of, you know, some of the changes in standings purposes. Most points they've had since 1984, a year they lost in the Stanley Cup Finals.
And that ended their four-year run.
Ended the dynasty.
Lost to the Edmonton dynasty.
That's right. And they did this, by the way. How'd they do this? After their best player walked out the door.
Indeed.
What an accomplishment by Coach Trotz and this Islander team. They took care of business against Washington, and now it's a hell of a challenge because you are facing a team that won back-to-back Stanley Cups a few years ago, a team that features maybe the best player in the sport, a team with oodles of postseason experience. But you know what? You got to go through the best if you want to get to where you want to go.
Hey, look, it's great for them. I mean, you're right. It's great for the Islanders. It's great for the Nets. When was the last time the Nets and the Islanders were in the playoffs together?
Well, I think it happened.
Was it recently?
It happened a few years ago.
Yeah, I guess it had to, right? When they won that playoff series, right, the Islanders?
Yeah, where it's rare is that these two teams, two disrespected teams in this town, I understand that.
Yeah, well,
no one's going to talk about them today. I mean, seriously,
well,
no one is.
We're talking about them because you're a fan of the team.
Damn right. And there actually are fans of the Islanders and Nets in this town.
No question. Probably I would say the Islanders have maybe a bigger fan base than than the Nets do.
Well, I think so because they've had that rabid fan base for a while. Yep. The Nets have sort of been nomads between New Jersey to Long Island, then to Jersey, then to Newark, a different part of New Jersey, then to Brooklyn. So they've been a nomad. The NBA is more popular, but the Islanders are in general probably more popular franchise. But
I think so.
But these are two teams in this town that get disrespected. We all know that. And they own this town right now. Even though we'll pay more attention to the Yankees and the Mets, they own this town. There are no Knicks. They're dreaming of Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
There are no Rangers. Well, Boomer's dreaming of the lottery.
The Knicks did clinch the worst record. Not that it matters because it's the same for the top three, the bottom three. They did clinch the worst record in the league, right?
They did, which assures them at least a top five pick.
Right, right.
There are no Devils. There's nobody. It is the New York Islanders and the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not sure how long the run's going to last. Mm. It may only last a week and a half.
Well,
I don't know. But right now, the winter sports teams in this town, they're still playing. There's two of them playing in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And at least for the first round, Nassau on
Coliseum.
Long Island.
Yeah.
And both franchises in different ways have accomplished a lot because they defied logic. The Islanders lost their best player. There was no way they were going to be a playoff team, right? Well, they have home ice advantage for the first time since 1988. The Nets got nuked by Billy King. And here they are in the postseason with no way to rebuild. How are they going to rebuild the last few years? And they did it. So I don't want to take any shots at the Knicks or Rangers, but now it's about the Nets and the Islanders, at least for those who care.
Hey, look, no question about it. I would give the Islanders a better chance of moving on.
Yes.
I think you have to.
Yes.
No, well, I think I think it's pretty obvious. You'd have you'd have to give them a better chance, but you never know. We've seen 8 seeds beat number ones before. Certainly we could see a 7 beat a 2 or a 6 beat a 3, so it's certainly possible.
The Nets has a 6 seed, Habs defeated a 3 seed. They actually did that twice, both against Toronto, by the way. Once in the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce run, they were the 6 seed.
That's the game you were at.
That was the game I was
when
at.
You got the parking ticket in Toronto?
That's up in Toronto.
Right.
And the other time they actually did it was 2007, the final run of the Jason Kidd era. They defeated the Toronto Raptors in the first round. Toronto won the Atlantic Division that year, and the Nets won in Game 6. Richard Jefferson made some big plays down the stretch. So it can be done. It has been done. And maybe one of the great upsets in the history of the Nets franchise occurred against who? The defending NBA champion, Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah. That's their first ever win in a playoff series in the NBA.
That is correct.
Stan Albeck was the head coach of that team.
Yes. They beat old friend Dr. J.
Right, and they did it the year after the Sixers won the championship.
That's what I'm saying. They beat the champs.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was before my time, but I've certainly heard the stories of that.
Yeah.
But that's what the playoffs are about. You just want to be in the tournament. You want to be
Indeed.
There.
Indeed. Indeed.
And speaking of the tournament, I got to tell you, I know that when there's a second to go in a game.
I had a big problem with this. I told you off the air.
I know you did, but it was a foul. Was it not a foul?
I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
I mean, the guy, you know what? The kid went straight up. Did he hit him with the body a little bit? He did. It's a championship game.
What does that mean?
Don't blow the whistle.
Why? It's a foul.
I had a major problem with it. I just did. The guy wasn't going to the basket. He got hammered. No.
You know, Bruce.
Give me a break.
Bruce Pearl was very upset. I understand
why.
He should be more upset by the non-double dribble call.
Well,
because
that as well.
Well, that's fine. That was a double dribble.
That was.
There's no argument.
Right. So to me, they got hosed twice.
No, there may have been a foul before the double dribble, which negates it.
Whatever.
But you know what Bruce Pearl said I agree with? Obviously, you don't agree with him, but I agree with him. He said a game should be called the same way in the first half as the second half. A game should be called the same way with 2 minutes to go as with 5 minutes into the game. I happen to agree with that. I know that's tough to stomach sometimes, but it was a foul. It was a flat-out foul. And give the kid credit, because guy goes to the line
and
hit all three.
That's a different story. I mean, the kid going to the line hitting a three, I mean, I give him nothing but credit. I mean, those are, you know, you talk about pressure free throws. There you go.
Absolutely.
You know, pressure free throws.
And after the game, he admits he was scared to death.
I saw that.
Which was great.
Yeah, well, how could you not be? I mean, I mean, especially a college kid, you know, you're playing for a championship. Sure.
Yeah. It was a very entertaining game. I agree from this standpoint. Do I want a game to end that way? No, of course not. But there was a foul.
Yeah,
and so it's tough.
Yeah, well, I understand.
It's because here's my question to you. Because I understand where you're coming from. And in fact, I think most people probably agree. Choke on the whistle with a second to go. My question to you is, when do you start officiating differently?
Well, I mean, I think these guys officiate differently the entire game. I mean, if you really want my feeling on it.
What do you mean?
I think they do. I mean, I think there's times fouls should be called. They don't call. Then they'll call like a ticky-tack nothing foul. You know, but if you're in that position where this is it. It's a second to go. The kid didn't maul him. I understand if he mauled the kid. I get it. I understand if he was going to the basket and he got hammered. Clear cut, you can't walk away from a foul like that. This is a guy going up for a shot. The kid didn't touch him with his hands. He did catch him with the body a little bit.
Right.
I had a problem.
If there's 20 seconds to go, do you call it?
I just don't like that call.
No, but
it would be like calling pass interference in the end zone on the last play of a game on a jump ball Hail Mary.
Yeah, that's, but this isn't
thing.
A Hail Mary. I mean, yes, he's taking a three.
I get it.
He was fouled.
I get it. I understand.
Look, I understand your point that the officials do officiate differently.
They do.
Disagree with that. Okay, I agree that they shouldn't do that. I want them to be consistent. I want them. Obviously, I'd rather watch officials let them play than call everything. And I thought for the most part in this game, they did let them play.
For the most part.
For the most part, they did. But if you want a game officiated differently, I'm not talking about what the officials did. If you personally say, hey, I want it officiated differently, when is that line of demarcation when you want it differently? That's my only question. When is it?
I don't know. To me, you could have not made that call. I mean, you could have not made that, and nobody would have said a word about it.
No.
It would have said maybe it was a foul, but it wouldn't have been crazy. Nobody would have went crazy about
it. I agree with you on this. It would have been the easier solution because there would have been less people complaining, but it would have been talked about.
Probably.
I think if we sat here today, I would have said, hey, by the way, there was a foul on that play, and you would have said, hey, I'm glad they didn't call it.
Yeah,
and
that's
I would have said, yeah, whatever, we'll move on, but I think there was a foul.
That's what I would have said.
Yeah, no, I know, absolutely, and I wouldn't have been angry, but I would have said, hey, that there was a foul on that play. So you're right that the officials could have had an easier world if they didn't make the call. But it's not about having an easier world. It's about making the right call. It was a foul.
Yeah. No.
The double dribble thing is a mistake.
Well, that clearly was. And that wasn't even brought up. I mean, when that happened, you know, watching the game, you know, Nance Hill and Coach Rafferty didn't say a word about that.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything about it.
And it wasn't
until later on when, of course, we've got to have Gene Steratore there. Gene's here. Oh, Gene.
Your favorite part.
Oh, I love Gene Steratore. I think he's going to be doing baseball soon. Oh, what do you think of this call, Gene? Should that be a strike? But anyway.
I'd love to see that.
And Steratore, of course, brought that up, you know. And it was. I mean,
They missed it.
They did.
The only argument would be there may have been a foul beforehand. Maybe. But what I do know is that there was a double dribble.
Yeah.
And it wasn't called.
And I tell you, watching that game, I mean, the call at the end, the side, I thought Virginia was finally taking control of the game.
Oh,
they
jump
up by 10. I'm like, okay, Virginia's taking control of the game now. They're not going to lose. And, boy, Auburn, in a heartbeat, came back. To take the lead in that game.
Yeah,
I mean, they couldn't have came back any quicker than they did.
I think Ty Jerome, who was the best player on the floor, being in foul trouble, was a big hindrance.
He went out with his fourth foul. I think that's right when the run started, wasn't it?
I think that's a clear line of what happened there. Ty Jerome was their best player, and him being in foul trouble was certainly a big swing. But you're right. When they were up by 10.
I thought they were just going to take control of the game.
I thought it was
now.
Over.
Yep.
But then Auburn's up with up by 4, and you figure closing seconds they're going to win. But think about this for Virginia. How they've won their last two games.
Oh, my God.
How lucky, in a way, have they been?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, so much it is, you know, so much it is tournament is that.
Yep.
I mean, even look at the games with Duke. I mean, they had two games where they, you know, were very fortunate to win, and then it caught up to them. You know, let's be honest. Yep. I mean, you know, it wasn't like Duke was blowing people out in the tournament in the games they won. So
no question.
It's a fine line. But the bottom line is, you know, you got. Here's what I liked about tonight. You got two teams playing tonight that have never been to a championship game and have never won an NCAA championship. So I like that aspect.
Yeah, it's cool. It'll be a fun night.
I do like that.
It'll be a fun night.
Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.